Hey, Shipper City, thanks for listening. Before we jump into the episode, do me a favor and consider tapping that support this podcast link in your favorite podcast player. Every little bit helps us stay on the air and keeps us creating the content that you love.
Be sure to follow along on social. We are on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at iShipItPod. You can head over to the website, iShipItPod.com, to sign up for email updates when new episodes are released. And you can send us emails at iShipItPod@gmail.com.
And remember to rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening to, and tell your friends that you ship it. So take a second, do all of that while you enjoy a word from our sponsors.
Thor ate a lot of Pop-Tarts in these fanfics.
It is a hot garbage fire.
Do you not know what sex pollen is?
I mean, Phantom Seed! What?
I don't care. I ship it. I don't care. I ship it. I ship it.
Hey there, geek girls, geek boys, and geeks beyond the binary. This is Emily J with the I Ship It podcast, your safe space on the internet for fan fiction, fandom, and all that stuff you've been pretending you're not reading on your phones. Hello, Shipper City. Welcome back. First and foremost, of course, we thank Grimey for stopping by last week. I had so much fun. It sounds like everybody else did too. There was like a lot of sharing and squealing about last week's episode. So, sorry, kid, you have to come back because you make me more popular when you're on my show. And also, we're in love, so that's what happens when I love you. I make you appear on my podcast. So, if I really love you, I make you produce it, which is, you know, what we got going on here, in our little alcove here in Shipper City, in City Hall. I never named this office. Never. The closet was a Citadel of Smut. We have never named this office. With a new fanfic title, perhaps as our anniversary draws near, between for not for Shipper City, but for Sexy Silent Producer and myself, perhaps I will bestow upon us a fitting name for our new recording studio. New, we've been here for a year and a half, but whatever. Anyway, hi guys, how are you? We're going to talk about a whole bunch of weird stuff. It's kind of a weird episode. Just sit back, prepare yourselves. Kind of off the cuff this week. But before I do any of that, I already thank Grammy. So, like, the biggest part is check. Good job. But I realized last week I didn't have an answer for you, so I couldn't do an update, and I was too busy flirting with my guest anyway to remember to do it. But I didn't update anybody on Fat Bear Week. I did a whole goddamn episode on Fat Bear Week, and then I was like, meh, never mention it again. Okay. I was really hoping it was going to be like a whole month, but they didn't sell it as such. They really said Fat Bear Week, and I blurted that out a billion times, and still I was like, oh, I could do like weekly updates. No, you dumb shit. You can do one update ever after the week is over because you run a weekly podcast. So, without further ado, the winner of Fat Bear Week, if you are not paying attention, or if you didn't go and look yourself to see if your vote counted, it is the bear nicknamed or known as 747. I guess he'd been in the running before, but this is his first win. So, like, that's very exciting for 747. He's gigantic. He's over 1,400 pounds. He is a fat motherfucking bear. And he ate a lot of salmon to get there. And frankly, good job, 747. You've done a service to your country. Well done. I'm proud to share a globe with you and all the other fat bears. There's really no losers here, is there? Even us. I mean, we win as much as the bears do because we get to look at how gloriously fat they all are and know that they're going to be taken care of by nature during their hibernation. So, like, the fat bears are all going to be okay come springtime. And it's just, like, a wonderful thing, right? So congrats, 747. I hope you ate more salmon to celebrate because you, buddy, have earned it. All right. Now, speaking of things that are, I don't want to like lump this in with something as wonderfully positive as Fat Bear Week. I mean, there's nothing bad there. And what I really want to talk about for this week's episode is, you guys are going to be so excited. What are we going to talk about? My insecurities. Yay! Why would we possibly talk about this? Why would we do this? This is not your own personal form of therapy, Emily. Except that it is, because this is all I got right now. So I'm going to not cry, and I'm not going to explain why I have all of these insecurities, but I thought maybe I could build an episode about the mental breakdown that I've been having the last couple days. Why not, right? So I know you may be thinking, but Emily, you have it all together. You have a podcast, which literally anybody in the entire world, if they have a computer or a phone, can have. You read fan fiction all the time and occasionally write some. What else could you possibly want out of your life? What do you have to be insecure about? You're so super cool and fabulous. I know, guys, it seems like I have it all and I have it all together. But I also have a shit ton of aforementioned insecurities. And this past week, they have been so awful, like so awful. And it's all appearance-based, which is awesome because, I mean, I don't know. I think the second you're born in this world, somebody tells you that there's something wrong with the way you look, which is great. That's an awesome thing. Like, the first thing we're taught as humans in regards to ourselves is like, hey, there's something wrong. That's awesome. We should keep doing exactly that. Great job, humanity. Most of this is probably to do with, like, moms who grew up dieting their entire lives and then just like passing that on to us, like, don't eat blueberries, they have too much sugar, but here, eat this, you know, reduced fat cookie, that's way better because it's sugar-free and full of chemicals that will give you cancer by the time you're 30. So like, I have a bunch of shit in my brain, right? And it's all bullshit. It does not deserve airtime, yet here I am giving it. But I do think that I can actually work this into a whole episode and bring it around. So stick with me. Let's solve my brain, all right? So here's my issue. Is that I am a plus-size woman. There it is. That's all you need to know about me and to know why I'm insecure. Because there are billions of people out there who have made so much money telling you that that's not okay. So most of the time, I can just be like, I'm cool, whatever, I'm fine. I'm actually never fine, ever. Any semblance of self-esteem or confidence in regards to my appearance or especially my body, maybe not my face. I've made peace with that. But isn't that sad the way I just said that? I've made peace with my face. What? Fuck you, beauty industry. This is my ish. Okay, so I know that all of these feelings that I'm having are a direct result of a billion-dollar industry designed to get rich off the fact that I feel shitty about myself. It's so good. They do it so well, and they're so insidious. And I love nothing more than sticking it to the man. So, like, what better way to say fuck you, which I love to say, obviously. If you've been listening to me for even 15 minutes, you know that. To say fuck you, then to be like, I'm awesome and I don't need to buy your fucking makeup and your Spanx and your fucking nail shit and whatever. Like, that would be great if I could do that. So on top of feeling bad about who I am, this is multi-layers, guys. So on top of feeling bad about who I am as a human, like as a flesh prison, I have that, okay? And then I feel bad for feeling bad because I know that I'm playing into the hands of these evil corporate people, demons, who are loving the fact that I hate myself and getting rich off of it. Or, I mean, they're making a small amount of money because it's not like I can spend hundreds of dollars trying to fix the way I look. So there's all that. So then, like, I'm angry about that, right? And then I'm, like, sad that my anger isn't motivating me to do better about how I feel or change my appearance. So I'm like, why can't I just take all this rage, all this boiling fucking hot mess inside of me and turn it into like endorphins that make me want to fucking run? I hate running. I hate it. I hate it so much. I don't even like walking fast. I mean, I just like, it's hard to run. Also, fun fact, I have the worst possible thing, the lamest kind of asthma. I have something called exercise-induced asthma, which has to be the universe taking the biggest shit on my ambition to be healthy I've ever heard in my entire life. The doctor told me that and gave me an inhaler, and I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. So I have this thing where if my heart rate raises more than like average, if I start to sweat even a little bit, my lungs are like, I think we're going to fuck off. And they stop kind of working right. That's not an excuse. I hate running. I don't like strenuous exercise. We could go back to gym class in third grade and figure out why that is, but we don't need to. I've owned it. And like the things that I like to do for exercise, like swimming, and I actually enjoy going to the gym. Don't tell anybody. But I can't do those things right now because we're in a fucking pandemic. And also I'm broke and I can't afford a gym membership. So long story short, I have a lot of negativity sitting inside of my soul right now, chewing away at me, making me not want to look in the mirror, making me hate the way I look, hate the way I feel, hate the way I feel about the way that I feel about how I look and feel. I mean, it's a whole fucking mess, right? It's a big goddamn mess. I don't think I've done a decent job of explaining how I'm feeling at all. So there's another layer of guilt on top of that. Sorry. Not sorry. I'm actually, you know what? Let me just retract that apology. I'm not sorry at all for feeling like this, or even for sharing it with you guys. Because if I feel like if I'm this much of a mess in this, the year of Satan 2020, and have been kind of keeping it together. I guess we can be the judge of that if we look back on past episodes, but kind of keeping it together through this whole fucking pandemic shit and whatever's happening with United States politics and unemployment and every goddamn other fucking thing that is happening. Sometimes we all just hit a breaking point, right? Sometimes we all just hit a breaking point. And I think mine either happened this weekend or, scary, I might just be approaching it, which is terrifying. Because there was a good 48 hours there where I didn't go more than like 15 minutes without crying or wanting to cry. And I think if I get any worse than that, I'm not going to be able to hold down even my part-time job because I'll be too much of a mess. And that will be a problem. So what do I do instead? I go to the internet and I talk to you guys. Here we are. Also, I think maybe who else out there might be struggling with similar things. Hopefully not just me. Not saying I wish this kind of insanity and rage on anybody else ever, but I hope I'm not the only person because this doesn't feel like it's a very specialized problem. Now, maybe if I got into all the reasons that I feel this way and my tragic past, whatever, who doesn't have a tragic past, it might be a little bit more specialized, but I feel like this kind of ish is something we've all experienced at least once or twice. I was talking with a friend this weekend and I was like, I just honestly want to be a person who just eats food and moves the way that they want to move and doesn't fucking think about anything, right? There's no guilt attached. There's no, this is a good food, this is a bad food. I should earn this. I should work out because I ate this. I shouldn't have this because I should have this. And she was like, okay, but true facts, I don't know that many people out there exist that can do that. And I was like, that's probably true. She's like, if they do, and I'm sure that they do exist, but they're not people who haven't worked at it. It's probably pretty rare that there are people out there who just like enjoy food for its food value, right? I don't have a baggage tangled up in food and exercise and appearance. Like it seems like it's a lot of hard work to get to that point. And I want to get to that point, but I can't right now. It's just not in the cards for me. So I have to take these little tiny, you know, that bullshit, do what you can, where you are with what you have. It's not bullshit advice. It's just like, it's kind of a trope or kind of cliche, I guess. that, you know, so this is where I'm at. And what do I have at my disposal? I have a podcast, which I've just subjected all of you to. So check that off the list. And I have an audience. These are two different things, huh? That I can hopefully relate to and try to turn this into something helpful and positive. If not for me, right, then maybe for somebody else. Maybe there's somebody else who's listening who's like, wow, Emily, all of the you know, the words that just fell out of your face when you unhinged your jaw this week, really, really, that feels like what I have going on in my own brain. I'm so sorry if that is what's happening to you, because I know it fucking sucks, right? It sucks to hate yourself, and it's exhausting. I'm so sleepy. I'm so tired. And it's just because I'm full of rage and hate, and it's not even directed at anybody else, where it could be useful and positive, right? No. This is all the lame, boring self-hatred. Wah, wah, wah. But let's get to that next point, shall we? So it all got me thinking about how could I take this and apply it to the actual topic of my GDAM podcast, which is fan fiction. And is there a place for any of this in Shipper City? And I think that there is. So with that in mind, I'm going to revisit a topic this week that I had that I had visited before, hence a revisit. And that topic, my loves, is the reader insert fan fiction. Now, back in 2018, when I was a wee babe, but a lamb here on the plains of Shipper City, before it was even a city, it was just kind of a small little hamlet, I did a month, I want to say it was the month of September. Yeah, it was. The month of September, my first year as a podcaster, I did something called the Cringe Binge, where I read a bunch of fics that I personally considered to be of a cringy nature. Now, that was just me. I did not say that these fics were cringy, that they should be avoided, anything like that. I just know that when I was looking for things that was like, ooh, I don't want to read this. It was like a challenge to make me a more well-rounded reader. That didn't work because I read exactly those fics for exactly that month and then I never read them again. I never looked at another reader insert with any kind of serious intention. I never really looked too closely at the entire trope, why people do it. I just didn't want to think about it anymore. I really kind of did a disservice to the self-insert. Not even the self, let me not say the self-insert, because when I think self-insert, I think Bella Swan. And we don't need to talk about her. But the reader insert, I did a disservice, right? So I apologize to anyone who loves a reader insert, anyone who writes a reader insert. I did not give you a chance. Now, before I get into my spiel this week, I do want to say this is still not my particular jam, okay? I personally don't, I've tried to write reader inserts, and I just, it's not my forte, right? And that's me. That's nothing to do with the genre, that's nothing to do with the trope, that's nothing to do with anything other than me saying, like, you know what, there are things that I'm not good at, and this is one of them. And that's okay, because there are plenty of people out there who are really good at reader inserts. And I don't need to be one of them, because they exist and they do a hell of a job. And that is fucking difficult, all right? Just put that out there right now. First of all, it's hard for me to admit when I fail at anything, and I fail so hard at writing this shit. So these people deserve a round of applause. Snaps for them, because I can't do it. So reader inserts, they're not cringy. I just used to be a bitch. So, sorry, me in the past. I could say things like, oh, I just had higher standards. But no, there's nothing wrong with reader inserts. Fan fiction is twofold. It's a love letter to canon, and it's a here's how things could be better. And it's also a very important part of a lot of people's internet experience. And since we live and breathe on the internet these days, for me to dismiss an entire part of fan fiction is really quite bitchy. So I'm not dismissing it. I'm saying it's exactly as relevant and wonderful as the rest of fanfic. End of story. And I actually, when I was feeling super down on myself, I was like, I don't know how to pull myself out of this spiral right now. Like, I feel so rotten. Like, there's just so much, like, legit fucking loathing toward who I am and everything about myself. I was like, I can't see myself in a positive light. Like, it doesn't matter if, you know, my husband or my best friend or whoever is telling me that I'm, you know, wonderful or gorgeous or sexy or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. If you're in a really dark place, it's really hard to, first of all, believe that. And second, let that be enough to get you to the next place where you can climb out of that a little bit. Weirdly enough, I was on Tumblr and I was like, I wonder. It was like a science experiment. And I was like, I wonder. And I went and I clicked over to one of the authors I'm going to recommend this week. I went over to her page and I love her so much. She refers to herself as a shameless hoe. And it's wonderful. She writes so much reader insert. It's for like literally every character that Chris Evans has ever played, which even the murder, honestly, I'm going to say this, especially the murderers. She writes a lot of like humanizing the murderers, which is maybe problematic. I don't know. I think it's hilarious and so does everybody else. She writes a lot of really good smut is what I'm saying. And I was reading one of her fics and I was like, okay, not that I'm actually imagining myself in this scenario, but there was something about reading about in the second person being referred to as, you know, things that are in a positive light, you know, good and gorgeous and sexy and all these things like this, you know, object of desire. And it's not that to say that, you know, that, oh, hey, this, you know, cleared my skin and fixed all of my self-loathing and now I'm better because I read a story about Steve Rogers having sex with me instead of Darcy Lewis. No, that's not what happened at all. But for a second, it did shift my brain a little bit and it forced me to consider myself as the person in the story who was being portrayed in a very positive light. And sometimes that 15 minutes worth of a shift is all you need. It certainly got me out of bed this morning and got me to work. So thanks, Siri. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, we all know that fan fiction is an escape. And sometimes it should be and can be an escape from your own personal flesh prison and horrible brain. And if your brain is telling you all of these bad things about yourself and you can find a fucking fanfic where your favorite character is telling you all of the opposite things and they're telling you personally, all of these things are not true and how they believe this. Yeah. Is it fucked up that sometimes that's more effective than a loved one saying it to your face? Sure. Sure. It's fucked up. Sure. Whatever. Should it be more important than knowing that people in your life love you and think you're gorgeous and perfect exactly the way you are? No, it should not take the place of that. And you should obviously, you know, there should be people in your life who can tell you these things. But what I'm saying is that it can kind of, seeing it in black and white can kind of rewire things, I guess. You know, It's a weird thing, but if somebody wrote you a letter saying all of these wonderful things about you, wouldn't you like save that and like hold on to it and reread it when you needed to? Because you can go back to it, right? You can go back and be like, oh, hey, this is the thing that I read that made me feel good about myself. Even if there's, you know, a space that says your name, that's fine. It still kind of takes me out of it, but not as much as it used to, and I don't hear it in a robot voice anymore. So that's progress on my part, I guess. I don't know. It's a weird kind of complicated mixed up thing for my weird kind of complicated mixed up brain right now. But I thought maybe it was time to go back to the reader insert and talk about why it's really not nearly as cringy as it was when I was 29. 30. How old was I? 31? I just forgot how old I am. Again, I have... Anyway, back when I was 31, not 29. Nice try, Em. Yeah, I don't know. I guess shit's just weirder now, and I'm less bitchy toward everything else except myself, apparently. So whatever the reason, the reader insert is not something to be shied away from. It can be really fun. And there's three authors that I'm going to recommend to you. These are all Tumblr accounts. I'm going to find them on AO3, though, and provide those links as well so that you can go and read their stories there, if that's your jam, so you don't have to start a Tumblr account if you don't have one. I don't know that it's for everyone necessarily. It's not necessarily the social media platform the whole world needs to embrace. But anyway, these writers are all currently, I believe they're all participating in Kinktober. So there's a lot of smut out there right now, which is fun. And a lot of just like, I feel like the fangirling when it's a reader insert kind of gets cranked up to 11. So there's a lot of squealing involved in the replies to these fics. And it's really quite sweet, and it's quite fun. Oh God, fucking vacation from my brain for a minute when I was reading them. So I highly recommend, if you don't do reader inserts very often, just don't listen to what I said before. Just who cares what I think? Try them out and take a vacation, all right? Just for a second. Now, there is one more aspect that I do need to bring up because I thought it was interesting that... Not interesting. I thought it was something important that I had never thought about, because first of all, I don't read reader inserts, and second, I don't write them. So these are not anything I've ever considered, but this is a little bit of advice from what I've garnered from the internet. First of all, don't go looking for the words reader insert, good or bad idea, because all you'll get is a lot of articles on the internet telling you why they're bad. And we don't need that kind of negativity right now, right? So there was one portion that I found. I believe it was a Tumblr post. Again, unfortunately, Tumblr is a hellscape and you can't search for these things. So I'm doing my best to parse what I found as the best nugget of advice when it comes to writing a reader insert. And it's actually based on the idea of being more inclusive in your descriptions. Now, since I didn't read a lot, I didn't realize this was a thing that happened, but a lot of people would describe the reader. They would describe them as their physical appearance, but like, it's kind of supposed to be just a cutout for you to fill yourself in, right? So there would be descriptions about, you know, the reader having long, silky hair, or blushing and their cheeks would turn pink. But like, there's a huge swath of the population whose cheeks do not turn pink when they blush, right? So keep that in mind. Keep things in mind where if you're physically describing what's supposed to be the person reading it, you're kind of doing a disservice to that reader, because if they can't imagine themselves in that scenario, then it's going to be really hard for them to lose themselves in the fic and to feel like you wrote it for them and that they're part of the story. So a good piece of advice that I actually think is good in general is not talking about appearance, but talking about feel. So instead of, you know, cheeks turning pink, your face gets hot, right? Because everybody's face gets hot when they're embarrassed or when they're flustered. But not everybody blushes bright red. So there's that. You know, hair doesn't have to be long and flowing. Somebody doesn't have to be running their fingers through it. Sometimes that's not possible, but your hair can be soft. It can be soft to the touch. It can feel nice brushing against somebody's cheek. But it doesn't, you don't have to be able to play with it, to manipulate it with your hands, or have a color or have a texture or have, you know, you don't have to say that, you know, the other character is doesn't have to be commenting on the reader's, you know, beautiful blue eyes, because I don't have blue eyes. I have green eyes. So if fucking Andy Barber is telling me that he loves looking into my beautiful blue eyes, I'm like, Andy, you're not looking at the right girl, buddy. Sorry. I'll get up and leave and your blue eyed whoever the fuck can come and sit down and take my place instead. But if you're asking if I've been reading Andy Barber reader insert, the answer is yes, I have. It's great. That's what I'm considering therapy this week. So things like that. So make it as easy as possible. You can still write beautiful descriptions, but internalize it a little bit more and make it easier for your audience, your reader, to inhabit the body that you've built for them, and if that means being less descriptive physically, then that's okay, because the reader's going to fill in the gaps with their own imagination, with what they think and feel about themselves. And that's kind of the point, right? You're writing it for somebody else in second person. It's all about the audience, the reader. So let's do that. Let's make it a nice space for them to inhabit, where they feel like it actually is about them. Because as I mentioned before, that can do wonders. That can and that can, you know, make the whole difference. Now, that's not to say that you can't write a reader of color or a plus size reader or you know, a blonde hair, blue eyed reader, but just you can tag it as such. You can say that. I've seen, you know, character name / plus size reader and Hispanic reader and reader of color, you know, like all kinds of things, right? But you can tag it as such, and you can let people know with the tags. We talk about tags all the time, right? They're so important. And you can let somebody know, like, hey, maybe if this isn't how you identify, then this probably isn't going to be one that you're going to be able to see yourself as. But that doesn't mean it's going to be bad. It's just maybe not for you. And we've talked about that too, right? That sometimes things just aren't for us. So maybe that was reader inserts for me before. But they were what I needed this week to kind of claw and scrape my way out of a little spiral. And for that, I feel very grateful and thankful that I decided to give this trope another chance. Now, the thing with reader inserts is they tend to be very short. Not very short, but drabbly, right? Around 1,000 words. So I don't have any specific fix for you this week, but what I do have are three authors who, again, I will find their AO3s if they have them, but these are their Tumblr names, which is wonderful if you are looking at the first one like I am. The first one is Bucky the Thigh Slayer. I don't really know why those words together put such a stupid big smile on my face, but it really did. This person does write a lot of Sebastian Stan-centric characters. So I don't know if they do any real person with Seb himself. That is something I did steer clear of. That's just a personal preference. No shame, no kink shaming whatsoever. It's just not my jam. But there's a lot of Bucky. There's a lot of Lance, I think. I don't know if they specifically write Lance, but like Lance Tucker and Charles Blackwood. Unfortunately, Seb has played some pretty morally gray characters at the very best. So there's a lot of angst and kind of dark fic out there. But that can be a nice little escape. Also, there's Soft Bucky that exists in the reader insert world, where he's just a big puppy dog. He's just a big fluff ball. So this is one is a Seb-centric kind of writer. They do write some other Marvel actors and their characters as well. If you're into that, check out Bucky the Thigh Slayer. The next one I actually put on because it was one of the first that I've ever seen of a Sam Wilson and reader insert. This is a writer called Tropical Cap. Again, Marvel-centric. Sorry, I'm just sticking with what I found and what I like this week. There are reader inserts for, oh my God, guys. Anybody, any character you could imagine, I'm almost certain you would find a reader insert. So this is just my corner of the sandbox, all right? If you're into this, if this has steered you in this direction and you want to try this out and you're like, Emily, I'm really sick of Marvel. I really need something else. There are so many out there. Just Google the character that you want and then the letter X and then reader and see what happens. I bet your Google results will explode. And I wish you all the best. But so Tropical Cap had a just like, oh my God, the one that I read was like the sweetest thing in the world about Sam bringing the reader, in that case it was me, home to his family for Thanksgiving. It was so fluffy. It was so cute. It was like 2,000 words. And I just like had this stupid smile on my face the whole time because I wish Sam Wilson every happiness in the entire world. Sub note, I also wish myself every happiness in the entire world. And I feel like while I was reading that fic, we both achieved that. It was so adorable. They have other Sam Wilson fics. And so then I wanted to conclude them because usually it's Steve and Bucky, right? And obviously, if you've been watching my Funko videos, you understand. It's also usually Steve and Bucky here in Shipper City as well. But it's nice when Sam Wilson gets some love. Okay. So Tropical Cap, also great. And then the last one that I mentioned earlier, the one who actually pulled me out of this, Stargazing Fangirl 18. This is why I love usernames, because it always makes me think of like AIM in 2002 when we were all instant messaging with each other. This would definitely be an AIM name. Stargazing Fangirl 18 is, she's the one who refers to herself as a shameless hoe. She's really funny. She's also a friend, like an actual internet friend. So I am moderately biased, but I think she's hilarious and she's a really talented writer. She writes Sebastian Stan characters and Chris Evans characters. I don't know that she's done anything else, but I feel like she's open to a lot of things. If you prompt her, she will probably write it. So check her out as well. These are all wonderful, wonderful writers who deserve all of the love and squealing and commenting and fangirling that we give all of our other fan fiction writers. And so I invite you to try something new this week and to broaden your mind. And hopefully it has the same positive effect on you as it did on me. And with that, I wish you good mental health this week, to myself as well. I hope that this is just a fleeting breakdown and not something that's sticking around. But in the meantime, I want you to have a wonderful week. I want you to take care of yourselves and take care of each other. And above all else, all of us, get your ship together.